But then he imagined what he would look like outside of the water, but still in the Speedo.
Punched him caringly.
The name of the book is called The Story of Omar De Amos, The Deep End.
In the Deep End.
In the Deep End.
Omar, that's the name of your book. My Life in the Deep End.
My Life in the Deep End.
The Story of Omar De Amos.
Indestructible Art number 188. My name is Omar in the Deep End De Armas. I am with Ryan Can't Swim Adams.
I'm just going to hang out here in the shallow part of the pool and
in the kiddie pool.
Hang out with
kiddie pool Adams.
Hang out with my floaties.
Water wings. Also, Evan Campbell.
Fish out of water. I get you guys. I get you guys.
Evan Campbell's the lifeguard that's sitting there on the chair. That's like, what's that chair called?
The lifeguard tower.
The lifeguard chair, yeah. And he's got too much sunblock on his nose.
Yeah, that's how you prevent skin
and
cancer.
I'm drowning in the shallow end while Evan's scoping out babes.
No, yeah. While Evan's playing his 3DS while
lifeguarding.
With my Japanese dictionary in one hand.
He was checking out babes on the 3DS. He's like, look at the size of those pixels.
This is getting better all the time.
What's up, you guys? How's it been for the last week?
Life has been good. Evan stood me up on a date.
No, that never happened.
Classic Evan.
Which was kind of weird because usually I'm the guy doing all the standing up.
Yeah,
Someday we'll learn not to take that from him anymore.
Evan will say something like, "Hey, we should go do something." And I go, "You know what? I will take time out of my schedule to go do something with you, my hairy friend. I will go spend time with you because I know you're stuck in a prison known as Simi Valley."
Yeah, it's gnarly.
If it'll make you feel better, I will take time out of my very busy, productive, enjoyable life to go see how the other half lives.
And I heard there's a Cajun festival this weekend. You want
to
go?
Yeah, I was going to go to the Cajun festival with Evan, but he ditched me to go with his grandma. No joke.
Then I sent you a bunch of pictures of it. Yeah. So you could see what you're missing.
Do they still do that Cajun festival in that church parking lot?
No, it's in the rec center across from the train station. It's like huge. They had two main stages. There's one stage for blues, one stage for Cajun, and there's one crazy guy wearing a top hat that was dancing at both. Like, he would dance at one and he would like run to the other and go find ladies that dance. I don't know. It's Simi Valley's crazy, you guys.
Our listeners that aren't inbred.
Yeah. Yep.
Simi Valley's the town where Evan Campbell grew up in and still
lives. You grew up there too.
I did not grow up there. I grew up somewhere cool.
And so did Omar.
And Evan hung out
he's an East Ender.
The Cajun Festival, which was a really douchey thing to go do, but Evan went and did it anyways because that's
I took
Evan
my
Campbell.
Grandma. I took my grandma. She wanted to go.
Why do grandmas like doing lame shit?
I don't know. She had fun though, so that's all that's important.
Why couldn't your grandma be like, "Hey, Evan, let's go see Mad Max"?
Or yeah, let's go watch all of the Flash. CW's the Flash. Let's go.
Why do you call it CW's the Flash?
It's on CW.
That's
so
like,
it's not
well,
wrong.
That's your little dig at one
yeah,
of the best
like
shows
a,
on
you know,
TV.
Look,
let's
you
category
guys,
this.
Look.
Let's label this show we've even watched it.
I went to play my PlayStation 4 the other day and turned on the TV and it was on the CW. So I stuck around and you guys are always talking about the CW. And there was a show on and I have to say it was pretty steamy. Pretty steamy. You I think know, it was Vampire Diaries. And I was like, man, you guys are in deep.
You know, here's the thing is, I don't think at one time did me and Omar ever go, "Hey, did you watch CW last night?" "Oh, yeah, we watched CW programming. That's great. High five." No, Evan, you fucking asshole. If we say CW, it's only to let viewers, or let's just say listeners, know where to view such quality shows as The Flash and sometimes
The Arrow.
The Arrow.
Or Legends of Tomorrow, which is coming out soon.
First off, I'm going to stop the show. I'm going to stop the show dead in strikes right now because the last episode of Flash came on last week, and it was a barn burner. It was a tearjerker.
Barn burner. Meh.
What's a barn burner? Barn burner.
Something that's so kick ass.
Oh, so it's cool to like burn down some dude's farm.
Not farm, barn. It's
kick ass.
But make sure all the horses are out.
Yeah.
Flash was awesome, man. The Flash wrapped up its first season on CW. Yes, Evan.
Yep.
But let me tell you something, guys. This show is the best comic book property to ever face television or ever be on television.
Better than the Hulk? The old Hulk show?
Oh, yeah. It's better than S.H.I.E.L.D. It's better than Arrow. It's better than Netflix's Daredevil.
Is it better than Agent Carter?
Yes.
Okay.
And I liked Agent Carter. It was okay.
Yeah, I think it's good.
That got canceled, right?
No, it's got a second season.
They're coming back for a second season.
Yeah.
So was that like a quick season then?
It was only like
six episodes.
Yeah, six episodes.
Hmm.
It was like a mini series. But getting back to like the real story. Flash wrapped up his 23-episode run of the first season.
Yeah, that is a lot of episodes, by the way.
And they did so much crazy cool stuff this season. I mean, they totally embrace time travel, all the quirkiness of the Flash comic. I liked how every single episode, we always left with a cliffhanger that was very, you know, reminiscent of a comic book. It was amazing, and it ended in very dramatic fashion with lots of time travel, time paradoxes, space-time crashing around everybody. Wormholes and the Flash spinning towards one to end the season on a cliffhanger. Oh my shit, guys. Oh my shit, this was amazing. I'm a man, you guys know this. As like the resident macho man on this show, like I am the machoest of all men on Indestructible. I think most people know this. You can just tell by the hair on my chest
and all the Slim Jims you carry around,
the metal of Slim Jims and my wife Nicole, who sometimes I refer to as Miss Elizabeth.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
Anyways, I'm not ashamed to admit, as someone who is the quintessential male on the show, I cried while watching Flash. It was very touching. There's a scene when Flash travels back in time to prevent his mother's death, but the older version of Flash basically says, "You can't do it, bro. No dice."
Yeah, when was that?
That's like the older version of Flash.
The older version when? Like Eobard Thawne old?
At one point? Not that old, but probably like 10 years in the future kind of old. He's even got a more comic book inspired costume. In fact, it's got, instead of on the chest emblem is more white, the costume is more of a it's not as dark of a red. It looks really cool.
It's all confusing.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved it. At one point, you have three Flashes all occupying the same space and time.
Same actor?
Yeah. Different.
Well, I mean, one of them is like a baby.
Yeah, you have like a 10-year-old Flash. You have the current Flash and then the future Flash.
Okay.
And Flash has to watch his mom die all over again. But at least he gets to say goodbye to her. And that was so touching. Oh my God. Fucking waterworks, dudes.
How did the other Flash know that he was there? Wait a minute.
answered your own question.
Take a breath.
I think I did. I'm trying to imagine a timeline. So he went back, chose not to do it, so the future one could be there to tell him not to do it, right?
Yes. Yes. And then he comes back into present time, and Eobard's sitting in the time machine getting ready to go back to the future. And what does Flash do? He runs through a wormhole and punches him out of the time machine.
Punches him through the time machine. Explodes it everywhere.
Oh my God. And then they get into a knocked out, dragged out fight. But Reverse Flash is still too strong. And Reverse Flash goes, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill all your friends. I'm going to kill your father that's sitting in prison. You fucked everything up." And then Eddie, who is a descendant of Eobard Thawne, says,
"Nope.
Not today." And shoots himself in the fucking chest.
Whoa. You would be a descendant of the Flash.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He, an ancestor, too.
Yes.
Man.
So he created a paradox, because Eobard's gone ripping through time, doing all these things, to now be at a point when he is never born, because his great-great-great-grandfather basically shot himself in the chest and killed himself.
Spoiler alert.
Right? So then this is what happens next, right? You're like, oh my God, all this crazy shit has happened. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, time starts correcting itself. Another wormhole appears and starts destroying. It's going to destroy the Earth.
Whoa.
Because there's a time paradox. All these crazy things have happened.
And only one Earth can exist.
And right? It ends Maybe. With Flash going, I must stop it. And he runs up the side of the building towards the wormhole with like the best special effects the show's done yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their special effects budget for that last episode had to have been like 4 or 5 times every other episode.
And it ends with Barry running through a wormhole.
Wait, Barry?
Trying to save. Okay, yeah. But there's all these little nods. At one point, you have Jay Garrick, the original Flash. His helmet comes sliding out of the wormhole.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like an old-timey thing. Look.
It's like the fish dome thing with the lightning bolts on it?
Yeah, it's like
the... Yeah, and,
it's
the, like and the dude says, like, that's my cue to leave.
Yeah, because he realized, like, uh-oh, Jay Garrick's running around somewhere. This opens up the door, guys, for so many cool stories. Season 2...
Does that mean Wally West is coming, do you think, Ryan?
I think Wally's coming, dudes.
Really?
They is already, Wally going to be, like, a parallel universe Flash, then?
It's not just like a fanboy pipe dream. You like actually see the lines being connected for Barry to show up?
Yeah.
Well, or Wally West to show
yeah,
up?
Yeah. Well, first off, I mean, Barry was raised by Joe West, who's Barry's father or Wally's father.
Oh, okay.
So we have to see what happens.
In the comic book, Joe West exists and he's an Irishman?
No, it's Iris West. Iris West, I mean, Iris's father, I think, exists, but he's never really been touched upon. They kind of changed things for the show a little bit, right? But Iris exists, and Iris West is the sister to Wally.
Whoa.
Because Barry is Wally's uncle.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. I want to see Wally, dudes.
Yeah, but it's not going to be redhead. Isn't
Wally classically redhead? I don't care anymore. I just want to see Wally. He's my favorite Flash.
But he's not going to be your Flash.
I don't care if he's black or brown. I don't see color, Omar.
What do you mean, your Flash, Omar?
Good answer.
I just want to see... Wally West is my favorite Flash. It doesn't matter what color hair he has or color skin tone. Wally West is Wally West. The best Flash ever.
What characteristics do you think make up Wally West? That being said. Like, what kind of personality does he have? Like, what... You know, what's his, like, most heroes have some kind of, like, tragic flaw.
Wally's more carefree, right? But a sense of duty and honor because his uncle was the Flash and dies, and Wally has to take up that mantle. And he was my Flash all growing up. Wally also was able to have a family, too, have kids. And, like, Wally never got dark.
Huh.
That's what I like about Wally. And he's also the fastest of the Flashes.
Oh. How do you know that? How do they measure that?
Comics.
Oh.
No. Wally's the one that really tapped into the Speed Force. Wally West is the dude, dudes. He is also the dude.
Is he like a super genius as well?
Nah, he's smart, but he's not.
He's like a normal dude.
Forensic scientist working for the Central City Police Department.
Mm.
Okay, so now that this is all over, how bummed are we that they're not going to use this kid as the Flash in their cinematic universe?
Totally bummed because Grant Austin, the actor who plays Barry Allen, has nailed it, man.
Yeah, he is.
He is the Flash. And then
he's the Flash right now. I don't know what they're thinking.
They got this
is a terrible
this
idea.
Ezra Miller kid who is in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, right? No, thank you.
I don't understand this like mentality that they can't cross the streams at all.
You know, at first I was like, don't cross the streams because we didn't know how good Flash would be. I remember saying this on the show. You guys asked me this. And I said, well, what if the TV show sucks? Then it's tied to the movies that could be good. But now, it's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
You guys, the TV show gives everybody a head start.
Yeah. You have a classic character here. Classically, like, he's going to be typecast as Barry Allen forever now. Might as well let him be in the movies.
I can see why they don't do it. I mean, it sucks. Like, that's the thing that I think, that's kind of the dream, right? We'd like to see all these characters cross over to all sorts of different mediums and fictions and stuff and like, hold their canon at least a little bit, or, like, hold that continuity together. But I could see, like, two completely different production companies, two completely different writing teams, like...
Well, first off...
Like, how much control does DC have over each one? And, like, it would be awesome if they would, like, get it together and be like, well, here's, like, the through line through, like, the television and, like, the plans of the movies, but then you have, like, potential leaks and, like, you can see that there's, like, a lot of problems in trying to do that, but it would be so sick if they could pull it off. They'd be the only ones.
I will tell you this, that Jeff Johns is the reason why the show is so good, because Jeff Johns, being the one of the chief dudes over at DC Comics, mm-hmm. and also the guy who wrote Flash for many years, is one of the producers on the show and makes sure, like, hey, everything's, you know, cool. Here's the thing is, with this Flash movie, though, you guys know who they got to write and direct, who will be writing and directing this, right? The same people who did the Lego movie.
Oh.
The same people. Awesome. The same people who did Last Man on Earth with Will Forte.
Ugh, that show is not good.
That show is good, and I liked it.
What?
Yeah, I liked Last Man. I like how Will Forte was just a complete and utter douche.
He's a terrible character.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
He's not just an asshole. He's just a terrible person.
The show reminds me nothing, of what would
there
happen.
There is nothing you can like identify with in that character.
Yeah, it's Evan Campbell.
That's true of like all the Mad Men characters as well, but they managed to make a good show out of it. Like the
they don't
dynamics.
Manage to make a good show of this. The show is so bad that they only put it on every couple weeks, or they were only putting it on TV
First off, as someone who's seen every episode, they played it every single week, and sometimes it was so good they played nope. two episodes in a row. Omar,
yeah, what were you watching it on? Are you like recording them or something? Because I know for sure they were airing two episodes every 2 weeks.
I watched it every Sunday it was on after, what is it, Family Guy. Nope. On Fox at 9 o'clock.
Man, you guys watch a lot of TV, too. Jeez.
Oh, you play a lot of video games. Shut, Evan.
Seriously, Mr. Judgy.
I'm not judging. Just like, dang, I really don't watch that much TV.
Well,
you guys.
Here's the thing, Evan. You're poor, and you don't have a television.
At one point, that was true, but no longer.
Evan Campbell, Mr. Time Poor, can't do anything with anyone ever. Don't got time for it.
Yeah, don't have time. Evan don't got no time for no TV.
A time poor for sure, yeah.
Anyways.
What else you guys been watching? This sounds like a crazy world that I don't live in.
How about that Mad Max, huh? You guys go watch that Mad Max?
Dang
no, you
it,
didn't.
Omar. No, I did not.
Time poor. Can't do anything. You guys are missing the zeitgeist. Bad. You're not going to be able to watch that movie ever. They're going to take it out of theaters because it's too good and you're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm. They will not take it out of theaters.
Another thing Evan ditched me. We were supposed to go see Mad Max last week, and he sent me a text the last minute saying, sorry to stand you up, bro. But
Ryan, if that was true, I would go see Mad Max with you in a heartbeat.
I have to go play Pushmo.
I don't own Pushmo. I've never played it. Yeah, Omar played Stretchmo last week.
Whatever. Stretchmo, Pushmo.
And also, you're trying to make fun of me, but I didn't even play that game.
I can make fun of you all I want.
Also, that game is good, from what I hear from Omar.
Yeah, it's good.
Right.
All right, more TV train. Okay. Costume Quest, Evan. You're a fan of that, right?
Yeah, that's getting a show, right?
They're making that into a TV show on Cartoon Federator.
Cartoon Federator. The same team as Adventure Time, I guess? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, same people who make Adventure Time and Be a Puppy Cat and other one.
Holy smokes.
Okay.
What's the third one in that trifecta?
The space one?
Bravest Warriors. Yeah. Oh, wow. Making Costume Quest a TV show.
Wow, you guys can count me out on this.
Really? What? Who's Mr. Judgy now? Sheesh.
You guys can go ahead and enjoy your little cartoons.
You watch Family Guy. It's a cartoon.
I actually don't watch Family Guy.
You just said that you watched it.
I said it was on after Family Guy, Last Man on Earth. I didn't say I watched it.
Man. What's the name of the baby in that show?
Evan.
What?
Oh,
dang it.
Zing!
Oh, man. Oh, some next level burnage.
Listen. If I was going to watch cartoons, I would go back and watch the Batman animated series.
It's not the only cartoon that exists.
See that new
that is the only
Batman
one that,
movie that came out?
Like, is like, you know, people considered like a real like cartoon.
People really like that Batman Beyond that came on after it.
Oh, yeah, people like that, too. The DC animated stuff's good, but this Dora the Explorer stuff you guys are watching.
Swiper, no swiping.
Blue's Clues.
In any case, Omar, did you have nice things to say about Costume Quest?
I just, you know, it's cool that they're making a TV show out of it.
Yeah, but Evan's not going to watch it because Evan doesn't watch TV because he looks down on people.
Yeah, he's got no time. I've got no time for
TV. You know,
TV.
That's probably a better outlet for Costume Quest because I feel like the thing that keeps me from finishing Costume Quest 2 is the combat, which isn't terrible,
it's not,
but it's just
it's
like
good. Did you see that Twitter
JRPG,
account that is the Candy Corn?
Oh, no.
Is it Candy Corn?
No. Is there really?
Yeah, just Candy Corn contemplates blah blah blah, like all that stupid bullshit that it says the entire game. It has like it, you know, there's a Twitter account that makes that happen every so often. It's pretty funny.
That's pretty great.
But yeah, that's TV stuff.
Yeah,
I watch Game of Thrones, Evan. I know Omar doesn't watch it.
I'm behind on Game of Thrones, but I'll definitely catch up.
The last episode that they had last week was a bit controversial.
Yeah, I heard.
I don't remember this happening in the books, and it ends on a very bummer note. That's kind of hard to watch.
Yeah, I heard this. I heard about this.
Yeah, this might be a little bit too much.
Too much how? Like too much of a departure from the story?
Yeah, but it's also poor Sansa. Poor Sansa.
Right, but she's always getting screwed in the book.
Yeah, but not screwed the way she was last week.
Yeah, you chose poor words. chose poor words there, friend. It's really unfortunate that kind of stuff happens, and like it's all throughout like the Game of Thrones universe, right? Non-consent, I guess, is like the PC way to say this.
Well, it was her wedding night, and it wasn't exactly non-consent, but it was just how horrible. No, I'm not saying it was.
Yeah.
Don't twist my words here, Evan. She knew she was going to have sex with this dude, but it was just in the context of what was happening was like terrible.
Jesus Christ, man, that show.
All right.
Anyways.
Yeah, thanks.
Video games.
This is why I play video games. This is why I'm glad I don't have time to watch crazy television.
This is why comic books are so much better than everything else, guys.
The comic books have similar problems, and so do video games, to be honest.
Yeah, comic books begat all this nonsense.
First off, you guys can all go to hell, because comic books are fucking awesome.
You know what?
Even when they suck, and believe me, this week was not a good week for comic books, but it was still better than the best fucking video games.
No, it's not. You cannot say that Convergence is better than any video game.
Convergence is better than Bloodborne.
No, it's not. Not even close.
Convergence is better not even close. Than The Witcher 3.
No. Nope. Nope.com.
See, the problem is, Evan, is that... Evan, listen.
I'm listening.
You are tied to one world.
I'm not.
You are blinded by your love of video games that you can't see straight.
I read more comic books than Omar right now. How can you say that?
That's not saying much, because Evan, Omar reads zero, okay? I can see through all the bullshit. Not only am I older and wiser than you guys, I'm not tied or blinded by love. Comic books are just purely better.
Mm-mm.
Story development, better characters.
That sounds like you sound like a person who is clearly in love with comic books.
I am a
and has no room in their heart for anything else.
I am a realist.
You're trying to play like you're like good cop, bad cop in yourself.
Yeah, classic apologist or like
yeah. You're saying I'm one of you guys, so I can say that your thing is not good. But you're incorrect, sir.
No, listen.
Convergence. I'm not going to argue whether or not comic books is better than video games or vice versa. But I will say that Convergence is not better than Bloodborne.
I can tell you right now that Convergence is 1,000 times better than Bloodborne.
Is Convergence better than Pac-Man?
Even Sony was surprised.
That is in the headlines. That did happen. Sony said they were surprised by Bloodborne sales because it did so well.
Yeah,
they're surprised it did so well,
but it's not as good as Convergence.
Not
because
it sold like
5 copies.
I wonder
why they'd be surprised by those sales. If they bought that game to be a exclusive, they must have thought it was going to do well, right?
Yeah, of course.
But not that well, because they realized that video games at the end of the day kind of suck.
I think Sony's surprised. I don't think, like, Adam Boys is surprised. You know what I mean? I think, like, the individual employees are like, duh, of course, that's why we did this. Like, this is why we paid all this money, so that they can make this game exclusively for our console, so we could have a reason for people to play PlayStation 4. Obviously, it's going to be rad. So,
right, listen.
Yeah, that headline is dumb.
Hey, I take it back. This generation of consoles is terrible. How about that?
It's not as good as past generations yet. Yet.
And,
still
and you know what? And that's why I'm hoping Microsoft's going to change the game. You know what I like about Microsoft? You know what I like about Microsoft? Even though I do not own an Xbox One right now. Is they're saying, look, it's all about games, guys. It's not about porting over HD stuff. It's not about doing that. We don't want any more remakes. We want original content. That's why I'm so excited about the Microsoft E3 conference. It's going to be jam-packed with video games and video games only.
Bold prediction.
Capcom
comes out with like crazy remakes for Xbox One at their conference. I bet you that happens. Also,
Capcom?
Yeah, Capcom has gone on record to say like, "Hey, we're doubling down on like classic remakes of games, like how they did that Resident Evil remake."
Yeah.
So they're kind of doubling down on that.
You know what the fuck thing about that story is?
What's that?
The Resident Evil remake was like, hey, let's, if we're gonna do this remake, if you buy this, maybe we'll, you know, reboot this franchise or something, do something with this, you know, show your love for Resident Evil.
We'll give you a new one.
by buying this remake. And then they go, oh, people must really like these remakes.
Yeah.
Let's keep making those remakes.
Yeah, but here's the thing is.
Jeez.
All Resident Evil fans want one thing if they're going to go down the remake train. We want a HD hardcore remake of Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Along the lines of what they were able to do with the Resident Evil remake for the GameCube.
I feel like they would sell a lot of copies of that game, happens to be.
That is the game everybody wants.
I don't think they can just like swap the textures or make it run better. I think they really have to go through and give it the GameCube treatment like that.
Yes.
The Resident Evil 1 got.
You give us a Resident Evil 2 GameCube treatment.
With dynamic lighting?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Sayonara.
That's so good. Yeah.
And
Ryan, you wouldn't play another video game for the rest of your life.
Everyone knows how I feel about Resident Evil 2, right?
Have I talked about comic books being better than video games?
Listen, comic books right now are better than video games are. It's true.
Is Convergence better than Resident Evil 2?
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Validated.
Shut up, Evan. I have a question for you guys. I know that E3 is still a couple weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Bold predictions for E3. I say that Microsoft takes it.
You want to do this now and not like 2 weeks from now?
No, I'm doing it right now with just what I know. I'm flying blind.
Okay, I'm ready. Yeah.
I say Microsoft takes this. I think Microsoft surprises everybody.
Oh, how can you guys say that? Can you say that?
I got my sources.
Sure, go on. Let's hear it. What else have you got to say about Microsoft? What is it? Where's the bold prediction of this? You're saying like Microsoft's going to win E3, but what are they going to show?
They're going to show video games. Lots of new IPs, new titles, new surprises. I think Nintendo's going to come in a close second. I think they are going to show off things that are going to blow people's minds.
Really?
And I think Sony's going to come out and tout why the Vita's cool, a bunch of original programming for the Sony Network.
PlayStation Network.
Or the PlayStation Network.
Okay.
And we're going to get more HD remakes from last gen. That is bold prediction. And everyone talking about Morpheus and Oculus Rift. And
I think
2016 being the year of the headset.
So now you're back on track. And according to you guys, HoloLens isn't that cool. And that's probably what Microsoft's going to spend their time talking about.
No.
Yeah,
they're not going to spend that much time talking about that.
No, they're not.
They're going to
pull that thing out. No, they're not. Me and Omar are tag team champions on this.
It's going to be Morpheus and HoloLens head-to-head.
No. I don't think it's going to be either one of those things.
Really?
They're going to talk quickly. Sony will talk quickly about Morpheus because they have a product that they're going to show to people at some point on the show floor probably.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's going to be like, you know, here are these video games, because if you've looked at the narrative of video games over the last year from E3 last year to now, it's all, everyone is complaining about lack of video games. So the only thing that these guys have to do to get people back on board with their companies is talk about video games.
Sure.
They're going to have all kinds of stuff to talk about. A lot of them are going to be indie games. A lot of them are going to be things that are not going to come out this like cycle or this year at all.
Oh, so E3, right.
They're going to go classic E3. Talk about games that are going to come out 2 years from now.
Sure.
Or may not ever come out, because that's also the world that we live in now, is canceled projects and canceled demos and stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about Morpheus a little bit. Microsoft is not going to talk about HoloLens at all.
No, you're crazy.
Because it's not a real thing yet.
You're crazy.
It's not a real thing yet. They're not going to talk about it
you're
at all.
Right.
And it's not even... And they're going to talk about it even less because it's not a product attached to the Xbox One. That is a PC product.
What? I don't know. Where are you getting your information? Like, how do you know that? There's so little information that there's no way to, like, quantify that. They haven't said it's not.
Microsoft is in such a hole from the way that they've marketed the Xbox from before. Mm-hmm. Like, Kinect and all these other auxiliary features and stuff. They're shying away from all of that stuff.
Wait, what
the
makes
HoloLens,
you...
The HoloLens is going to come out and be a PC product, a PC peripheral, not a Xbox One peripheral.
You think so?
Yes.
I think that might be... I don't know. My personal thoughts don't really matter, like, in the grand scheme of things and, like, how a corporation is going to do things. But I feel like if you... Okay. So first off, I think that there's going to be some focus on HoloLens and a huge focus on Minecraft, which Microsoft just bought. What else have they got?
They're not going to talk about that either.
Yeah, no, they definitely are going to talk about Minecraft. They're going to talk about HoloLens. They're definitely going to be ramping up Halo 5 Guardians big time. whatever Gears of War thing they haven't announced yet. Sure, they've got Battlefront, they've got Tomb Raider. Like, that's all stuff that's coming down. Maybe Crackdown, like, maybe, I don't know. There's all those rumors about Battletoads, which would be dumb, but like, and that's not even like something that I would consider a game to get really, really excited about. I don't see what they're going to pull out, like, that's going to be super, super crazy other than that. Like,
But you just said all of it. It's a bunch of different video games.
Okay.
They're going to jam-pack everything with a bunch of different video games.
We want
also
video
the
games.
HoloLens announcement that happened. What were they talking about, things that you can do with it?
Well, I guess all mostly just was, Minecraft, but yeah, like, most of it's office use, right?
It's all PC peripheral stuff. It's like
Facebook,
watching Netflix,
and
or yeah,
Skype,
Netflix.
Yeah.
Minecraft is a primarily PC game. Like, all of this stuff is PC peripheral thing.
Right, but you're forgetting that the console wars is called the console wars for a reason. Because whatever Sony does, Microsoft has. Well, before it was whatever Microsoft does, Sony has to catch up in some way, shape, or form in terms of like an online service or whatever it happens to be. And in this case, everybody is leaning towards VR. Like, PlayStation's getting ready with Morpheus. Oculus just announced that they have like a potential release date and like retail models, and also they announced an event that they're going to do like right before E3.
Of course, if
Microsoft was going to talk about HoloLens, I mean, now would probably be ideal. Like, E3 would be ideal for them. Otherwise, we're going to hear about it like a month or 2 months later. But for sure, that's going to be a thing they're going to use to leverage. They're going to use to leverage games because they have to be able to check those boxes. They have to keep up with the competition.
They did that with the Kinect. They checked boxes with the Kinect and they said, "Nope, fucked. We fucked it up."
Yeah.
Now this is just video games. No other things that you have to buy. You got an Xbox One, you buy some video games, you got video games. That's it.
Yeah, but they're in the red ocean, man. Like, they have to run feature parallel. What is it called?
Feature parity.
Feature parity, yeah. They're going to do their best to try and reach feature parity, I think. I don't know. I think they're
so scared of all that stuff, and they're probably banking on the Morpheus being kind of like a niche thing that it doesn't really take off with the mass audience, that they're just going to plan on doing video games.
So you guys think that HoloLens won't be on in the keynote at all?
No.
You don't think it makes the show floor?
No.
Let's put they a wager about on it. They, Let's put they, a wager they put, on it.
They I talked enough about it at the Xbox or Microsoft, the Windows 10 thing, because it is a Windows product, not a Microsoft Xbox product.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next time they talk about that will be at its own thing or another Windows release thing.
But everything I've been hearing about Windows 10 is how it's going to be rad and integrate with like your Xbox One.
It's going to integrate with Windows is going to integrate with all your services, and Xbox is one of your services.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're not even selling Xbox as like a media place anymore. They're not like the Microsoft Store is no longer like the Xbox media store or anything.
I bet you HoloLens shows up on that stage, even if it's just for like something really, really dumb.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Evan, hater of the year, is that
I'm just disagreeing with you guys.
They may show it off. I don't care, but I want to see video games.
Me too.
I want new games. I want new experiences.
All right.
I don't want any more HD remakes, especially of games that came out last generation. Over it, and I'm not supporting it.
Yeah, and especially with the Master Chief Collection doing as terrible as it did.
Yep.
And they just rushed that thing and broke it.
Exactly.
I'm sick
of this bullshit.
Bad, like, top-down management stuff happened there.
If you're going to give me an HD remake, give me something from, like, Resident Evil 2.
So, Ryan, your big E3 bold prediction is that Microsoft wins E3.
I think Microsoft wins. It's been a long time since Microsoft won an E3. Mm-hmm. And I think Microsoft's going to take it, and I think Nintendo will be coming in second, and I think Sony doesn't know what the fuck it's doing right now.
You're crazy. Sorry, Omar, what's your deal? What's your bold prediction? Or I guess let's keep it simple. Who wins E3 this year? Uh-oh.
Wow, tell me more.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
I think Omar just turned into a speak and spell.
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
And on that note, we know you got lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours. Well, I guess we will be editing the show after all.
I guess so.
Live from your grave.
Omar, who wins E3 for you then?
I think based on momentum alone, Sony is going to be, hold on, there's a
yeah, yeah, it's, just, it's perfect timing. Yeah.
Because someone called the cops because Omar's about to say something stupid.
Rise from your grave.
All right. based on momentum alone, Sony's going to look like it did really well this E3, just because everyone's looking for Sony and everyone's psyched on whatever they do. But I think pretty much all three of them are treading water. Like, we until we get more video games and more things happening this generation to get people excited about the generation again, they're not going to be like, they're not going to have, and no one's going to win E3 and be some kind of like walk away giant or hero from this thing. They're all just going to talk about a bunch of video games and everyone's going to be treading water, not really sure who they're going to back this coming year.
Blasphemy. Omar, somebody wins E3 every year.
No.
There can be no tie or draw. There's not always tie. A winner.
Yeah, and think the winner will be, it'll end up being like the same thing it was last year. Like, oh, everyone loves Sony, and Microsoft is a real shithead. And then Nintendo, nobody fight with Nintendo because Nintendo's fighting itself, kind of thing. Like, that's, yeah, you know, that's what we have going into here.
It's kind of the trend right now, yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to be what it is. It's always, it's been like that for a couple years now, you know?
But, look, I think that Sony has a lot stronger lineup of titles to show people this year. I don't know about that.
I mean, there was a ton of things that Microsoft talked about before. Both of them. There was a ton of games they talked about before that haven't happened yet. Like, Microsoft even has, like, what was that Cappy game that they had that they...
Below?
Yeah, that has to be a thing this year, right? Like, that. Yeah, there's probably no way that they're going to go an entire another year without that game coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I know that...
There's other games of that sort. And there's a bunch of stuff that I saw at PSX that hasn't happened yet that I'm sure Sony will talk about at E3 because those games are already in the hopper ready to release whenever they want them to.
Yeah. Well, there seems to be... Oh, I guess the other thing I forgot to mention about Microsoft is they are doing more HD remakes because they're doing a Gears of War remake. That thing leaked.
The story was, hey, yeah, you got to take these stories down because somebody broke NDA.
Yeah, but we're not working on that thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can't run that story because whoever told you about it broke NDA.
That's what it was.
I mean, a clear indication that, yes, they told me what they told me is true.
So
we should totally run these stories.
So yeah, Microsoft is definitely going to be delving into like the HD remake stuff. And I mean, I read a couple of the big games that they'll have to show at E3 is going to be Tomb Raider and Star Wars Battlefront. And Halo 5, right? But you know what's Sony got? They've got Uncharted 4. They've got No Man's Sky. They've got Street Fighter 5.
Get pushed?
Yeah, but they're still going to show a demo or a gameplay or something. They've got Persona 5, a new Ratchet and Clank game, maybe, and a handful of crazy indie games.
Yeah, there was at PSX there was like 5 or 6 rows of indie games that were all just like playable on PS4 right now that haven't come out yet.
So like The Witness, Chasm, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which
Chasm.
I don't know. Chasm, sorry. Nuclear Throne, which is going to be epic, but it already is on PC and early access. And then Hellblade, Ninja Theory's game, which is going to be insane. Like, I don't know. I think that Sony has a much stronger lineup in terms of games, if that's what we're looking at. In terms of winning E3...
People are not going to be stoked on those games, though. They're going to be upset that there's not like some weird tentpole AAA title that they can all get jazzed about.
Oh, you mean like a big unannounced thing that nobody knows about?
Or like what would have been, you know, Uncharted 4 or something, you know, like where's my tentpole AAA game? Where's my first party blah blah blah? Like people are dumb and they get upset that they don't have these things to play when there's a million awesome games coming out from smaller studios.
So what you're saying is Bethesda wins E3 because they've got all those crazy games, potentially a new Fallout game or a Skyrim game, potentially Doom.
Sure. They've already said they're for sure showing off the stuff for Doom that they showed off to QuakeCon,
which is like a 5-second video or something, isn't it? It's not. It's nothing huge.
I don't know.
There might have been gameplay, but yeah. Okay. I don't know, man. I think it's not necessarily early to be talking about E3 because everyone else is already getting their lists all together and, you know, making their predictions, but I just feel like the most exciting thing about E3 is the stuff that you don't know, right? Like the thing that comes by and surprises you, and that is almost impossible to guess, like who is gonna have that thing. I mean, maybe
it's
Nintendo.
Called mindless speculation.
Yeah, maybe Nintendo has that thing because they don't have a whole lot of anything else other than Splatoon to show people and Mario Maker.
And Metroid Prime.
Maybe Star Fox, but yeah. Metroid Prime Omega.
We have Mario Galaxy 3.
Maybe.
We have Metroid Prime.
Do you think they'll go another Galaxy game or they'll just make a new...
The Galaxy games are hugely successful.
I know they are. But if that company makes another 3D Mario, classically 3D Mario, like Mario 64, as in, you know, Sunshine and Galaxy, it doesn't have to be Galaxy for people to be stoked on it, right?
Yeah. I would imagine it would have a different title, at least I would hope. I mean, I know that the Galaxy games are really, really well regarded, but I don't know if I want to see another one of those because, and it's not because I don't want to play another one of those, but it'd be because I feel like a lot of their games that they've been making, they just seem to be very, very iterative of the past ones, like already, especially with Mario, right? Like you have New Super Mario Brothers and then like that whole chain of games. And then there was like New Super Mario World. So we'll probably see even like another one of those, 3D World, sorry. I don't know. It just like every time I see one of those that just looks like a rehash of a game that they already did, it kind of bumps me out because I feel like they could do something incredible, right? Or something that like really bends your mind.
I feel like you could say that exact same statement about everything Nintendo has done recently.
Yeah, and it's Sony. True. Like, and but Sony. It holds true. But
yeah, no. And Sony and probably Microsoft.
It's not the same. It's not the same. Like when Nintendo does it, you know it. Like, and it hits. Like, I hate the Wii. Like, but I think it was a really crazy thing that they showed, and it made everybody tilt their head sideways. Like, no other company, like Microsoft or Sony, have not done that. They've never done that. Other than like really, really good looking games that's kind of like a different reaction. I think it's not the same as like the reveal of like the 3DS or something or the DS the first time we saw it. Like nobody really makes you tilt your head like that except Nintendo. And like the first time like you saw Mario 64, like that's a thing that revolutionized the way that those types of games are played. It made an entire genre, and then nobody could really, you know, I guess like a lot of companies came out and like chased that genre down. But like the only time, like when Mario Galaxy came out, there wasn't really any other 3D platformers like that, you know, like they're the only ones who kind of like survived through it. So I think like Nintendo has that kind of staying power and that kind of like ingenuity. And it's really rad when they like hit something on the mark and get it going. Like I think that's the potential they come to with, you know, in every E3. But, you know, then we get into the question of whether or not they would announce like a big game changer like that at E3 or do their own special event completely as far away from a big gaming event like that as they could so that they could get all the attention, right? I don't know. I have high hopes for Nintendo. Like
I always have high hopes, you know, like yeah. I always want this all to turn out awesome, but it's just like it hasn't in a while. So you get a little like gun shy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't put them in order. Omar, you have no order in terms of winners of E3?
No, I have no order. I feel like we're just going to get a lot of this. We're going to get a lot of the same feel that we've had the last few months kind of thing, you know?
I see.
It's weird, too, because like you say that stuff about Nintendo and like how they have all this like opportunity to do something interesting. And like that's all first party stuff, you know, like that's all you can expect from them or that's all you want from them.
Yeah.
I feel like Microsoft, especially, and Sony for like the same kind of argument is like, I'm not even looking for first party stuff from them anymore. Like, I just want really cool third party games to come and take advantage of being on these consoles.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. For me, it's all about the first party because that's the best stuff for me. I mean, that's the stuff that I typically tend to enjoy the most, like Halos and Uncharted and that sort of thing, or Mario games, Zelda games. Because, you know, it's just so closely tied into the hardware. But yeah, there's a lot of rad third-party stuff that I do enjoy. Like WB's going to have some crazy games, you know, a little game called Batman, which will be out, I think, by E3 or the week of E3. You know, they've got some other stuff, obviously.
Yeah, that new trailer, Be the Batman.
Be the Batman.
Be the Batman.
Like we said, Bethesda, Ryan, that new Dishonored game. Come on, they're probably going to announce one. I don't know.
Why? Dishonored 2.
Why? No. This is how I know we're living in a fucked up, upside down world, guys. We get a Dishonored 2, but no Metroid Prime 4?
Yeah.
What kind of grave injustice is going on that we get an Assassin's Creed game every 6 months now? But yet I'm still waiting on the newest installment of Metroid Prime.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I'd love to see a new Metroid Prime as well, but I think that that series is probably done.
Shut your mouth.
Do you think they'll do like another first person Metroid game?
Yes.
I think they're going to want to. They want to do that because everybody asked for it, you know. They want to do these things. Nintendo obviously wants their cachet to build back up.
Yeah.
They just keep doing a lot of missteps on the way there.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, they want to make another Metroid Prime. They want to do things like they want this the same thing with that Star Fox game. Like these are things they know people will be excited about. Regardless, you know, like this will get them lots of attention and love.
Yeah.
They just keep messing up on the way over. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know it's, you know, it's been hard to be a fan, I guess, for the last 5 or 10 years. But I think that, and I believe this. I believe that whatever their approach is for the cell phone stuff is going to be better than what most people think it will be. I've seen a couple of quotes.
I think it's going to be less significant than a lot of people give it credit for. You know, like, this was a thing that they announced because they need to do something like that to appease people, but it's not going to be like a huge focus or do like a ton of business or something.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a thing that happens on the side, and you can either be into it or you're not, but it's not going to take away or give anything any other credence, you know?
In my mind, it seems like Nintendo would leverage everything they can, and almost in a backward sense, because I don't think they should do this, but using those cell phone games to get people to buy a Wii U, basically, or whatever or 3DS or whatever it happens to be.
Didn't they specifically say, like, hey, we're not going to be putting out, like, you're not going to play Mario Kart on a phone kind of thing? Like, none of the existing properties are going to go over. These are all going to be new things with, like, with, like, franchise names on it, you know, but not...
Yeah, but that's a little bit different than kind of what I'm implying, is that they're going to be like tie-in games or things that kind of, you know, cross-pollinate between the two platforms or three platforms. Things that will, like, allow you to enjoy, like, Nintendo-style games on your phone and then, like, carry that stuff over onto, like, a Wii U or 3DS or something. Because ultimately, that's their end goal, right? Like, they are jumping, like, heavily into the, like, cell phone software game, like, the cell phone game area, but...
That's why I feel like they aren't. They aren't jumping heavily. That's why, like, they're not doing it themselves kind of thing. Like, all of this speaks to the fact that it's a very much a side project and not any kind of, like, heavy focus.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say because anytime there's, like, a crazy huge, like, deal between two big companies like that, I always wonder, like, who has more say over, like, what the final product ends up being. I'm sure that Nintendo has, like, the final cards, and they're also, like, very sensitive about the type of stuff that they allow to hit the fan. But then you think, like, oh, like, Zelda Wand of Gamelon made it to mass market, so they're, you know, they're not always right. There's always going to be room for mistakes and stuff. I guess I'm just really, really interested to see where things end up in the long run with all of that, and I'm more willing, I'm more open to it now than I was before. And I hope that, like, you know, for the best interest of people who like video games, that they do turn all that cell phone stuff on its head, that they do, like, bring the house down and like, figure something else out that no one else has really managed to do with that stuff. But it's you know, it's not likely, but I guess if anybody could do it, it'd probably be Nintendo.
They have the most room to move, I think, than the three of the other two companies, you know, of the three.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely have, like, if anybody's going to do something crazy, it's Nintendo, because, like, what else are they going to lose? Like, they got nothing to lose right now. They can do all kinds of crazy shit and just bank on like the crazy hype to carry them forward.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if it's good, but I feel like the Wii U was kind of a flat note when it first hit and continued to be so, and kind of, like, in terms of public perception, totally is, you know?
Yeah, but that's, you could say the exact same thing about the other two systems.
No, not at all. Like, when they announced PS4, and I think, you know, maybe with the exception of, like, the early months or, like, that full year leading up to the launch of the Xbox One, there was, like, a complete avalanche of missteps there, right? But, like, the people were still excited about the hardware that it contained and excited about, you know, playing a new Halo game or whatever. And with the PlayStation 4, there was tons of hype for that thing, especially, you know, within the couple of months leading up to its launch. Whereas you see the Wii U, like, you see the new tech, and it's like, oh, okay, they're adding a screen. That's interesting. Not necessarily exciting. Like, it's not, you know,
I think it falls for the same reason, though. Like, yeah, we're excited. We were excited about these new consoles and stuff, but they haven't proven themselves. And had Nintendo proved itself at all, you know, even if it had, like, two titles that really made that screen shine, people would be excited about it, you know? Like, it's the same reason that all three of them are, like, are failing to wow the world right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, you know, a fair observation. Which bums me out a little bit to say, but yeah, like you say, Ryan, you know, what great games can I play right now, like today?
Mm-hmm.
I hear
you. Listen, I know that that new Batman game is gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
we know that. So I'm stoked that that's coming. I hate sounding like just the old grumpy old dude on here saying I want my games. I really want to play some really good games. And
let's talk about games then.
I want to talk about good games.
Let's talk about The Witcher 3.
All right, so listen, I've never played a Witcher game, but I know there's a lot of hype with this Witcher 3. It seems like every site I go to is talking about Witcher 3. reviews are in, and they're mixed. I've heard some people say this game is complete shit. I've heard some people say this game is incredible.
I'd say like the reviews are coming in pretty hot. Like they're pretty high.
Yeah,
pretty
they got a lot of really high scores, you know, a couple perfect tens and stuff like that. But
oh, but no, I'm saying there's probably more positive reviews than negative. But I've heard some negative, you know, criticisms of the game.
Sure.
I have not played the game, but I know somebody who has.
Oh, you do?
He happens to be on the show.
He does.
His name is Evan Campbell.
I haven't played it yet, you guys. I bought it. I downloaded it.
You
forever.
Bought it and downloaded it, and you haven't played it yet.
I haven't played it yet.
And what have you been playing instead?
Invisible Ink, but I'll talk about
okay.
that later.
Okay. No, you're not, because nobody cares. Omar, you played Witcher 3.
I've played a fair amount of The Witcher 3, and I'm nowhere in the game, because it's way too big. So I'm going to sound very negative for the next little bit talking about The Witcher 3.
That is weird, because you're usually such a positive person.
Hey, man. It's not about being negative on something. It's about loving something enough that I can criticize it.
Okay. So
is that what we're going to go with?
It's coming to The Witcher for the first time, having never experienced it before.
I played Witcher 2.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing?
No, because they're forever games.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, just because I have criticisms doesn't mean I hate everything.
Okay.
You can't criticize something and talk about negative aspects. Because if I didn't like it, I just wouldn't care about it at all.
You kind of hate
enough
everything.
To talk about it, you know?
You kind of hate everything, Omar.
All right. So The Witcher 3.
That's your role on the show, by the way.
Okay, thank you. The Witcher 3. Super hyped because of all of the press that it was getting pre-release.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone's talking about how this is the perfect video game. This is what we've been waiting for. Right. On the next-gen consoles, or, you know, PC, I guess, everything. Like, here is the next video game-ass video game. And I don't know, for me, and, you know, a lot of this is going to be subjective, I don't have fun playing this game.
Okay.
I'm playing it on PS4, because I was able to get it a couple dollars cheaper on Amazon than they're, you know, buy the digital code for that on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And we lost Omar.
So what Omar was trying to say is that he is negative.
He really doesn't like the game.
He hates the game.
It's probably the worst game ever made.
He also wanted to say that I was absolutely correct on my assessment of E3.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. And his power went out.
His power went out?
Yeah.
I just got the text. All right, so it looks like there'll be more editing.
Live from your grave.
The game is buggy as shit. I don't know how these websites gave it perfect scores when it's a broken video game. It is constantly fucking up the frame rate, and you know this might be the PS4, but not everyone has like an ultra PC to play this on.
Yeah,
the frame rate is constantly broken. The fight mechanics are constantly getting in the way of itself. Like the combat, right? The combat is so sloppy that it makes you want to just smash buttons all the time, because there's when you try to be like Bloodborne about it, you know, like only hit the button so many times and time dodges and all this stuff, it doesn't fucking work. So you just start mashing the button and you get killed all the time because there's 15 enemies attacking you at one time. And you have to like mind control each one of them to be able to hit it once. And if the other ones hit you in the meantime, like you're fucked. Like, all of this stuff is so sloppy, it drives me crazy.
Is it that it's sloppy, or is it that there's a lack of understanding of the mechanics that are happening? No, because I've heard that stuff is super complex, right?
Yeah, it is complex. They give you I would say the grade of their tutorial is probably like a C+, the way they teach you how to play, right? They give you one guy in front of you,
yeah,
and they give you a rundown of what all the abilities do, but they never really teach you like how to manage groups of enemies.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the sloppiness of it is you want to hit a guy, and then you want to dodge it like Batman, right? Like, you need to, like, counter the dude behind you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you try to do that, Geralt is, like, slow and swimmy and turning around that he gets hit. Or he, like, swings in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
or, like, if you're locked on a dude and you're trying to hit him, and that enemy, like, dodges backwards,
mm-hmm.
you have to, like, stop everything. So you're not moving at all, then hit forward and run to catch up to the guy again, and then start swinging. Like, there's no fluidity in it at all, and it's annoying.
But is there also things that you upgrade later on that might make some of that stuff better?
I mean, you make the spells more powerful. You make your swings more powerful. Nothing about like better crowd control, at least not that I've seen.
Or like timing or quickness, nothing like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think this is like you're supposed to know how to play the video game kind of stuff. It's not about that. It's about the combat being so swimmy that it's almost impossible to be like, you know, like a professional player at it. And then because of the combat is so swimmy and weird, you end up dying or like you end up in like bad situations all the time.
I see.
So every time you come up to something like, oh, this is going to be a fight, save.
Well,
like you play that game where every time something might happen, you have to like run away, make sure you save right beforehand and then go do that thing.
That just reminds me of like regular PC games, though. Like that's how Skyrim is, too. I don't know. It's similar to that.
Yeah, like, and then every time there's like, oh, there might be a branching path of narrative right here. And if you choose one and you think, oh, this is just, you know, this is just a narrative tree, I'll just hit every one of them and see what they say. Nope, if you hit the wrong one, fucks everything. And then the dude's pissed at you and you fail a quest or something like that. And it's irrevocable. Like, you can't do anything about it.
Huh.
So I'm going to go talk to a dude, better save right now in case I fuck it up and I have to, like, reload my thing to get back into it. And then the load times are super long. And then the game is awesome looking when it's running, and the concept of it is really cool. Like, I love the idea of having all these things that I can go do or not do, you know, just totally at my will.
Yeah,
but it gives me like anxiety because like I'm going through this world and I'm doing like story missions, and there's all these other things that I know exist in the world, but if I go do them, I know I will never finish the game kind of thing. Like, there's too much there, and they don't do a good enough job of like putting enough of it in front of you where you think you're missing everything, and it gives me anxiety about moving forward.
Huh.
Like, I want to play the game. Like, I know that in my head, I want to play the game, but when I sit down to start playing it, I'm not like, or not even that. It's like, I don't get home and think, oh man, I got to turn on The Witcher. Like, I sit down and go like, oh, that game is too much. Like, there's too much going on. It's too stressful. I'm not going to do that right now. And that's not how a good game should be. Like, a 10 out of 10 game should want, like, you should be like dying to play it all the time. And I don't have that feeling.
I've been hearing a lot of people saying that it's a game that they think about a lot, even when they're not playing it, in the way that you're saying. And some of your criticisms seem like it could be like stuff that just like personally doesn't sit like, well with you, and like,
you
stuff
know,
that
I
you
meant
like.
To give. Yeah. The, I don't know if I think I said it at one point, but if I didn't say it clearly enough, like, yes, all of this is very subjective. Like, this is how I feel about it, like me personally. Yeah. But I feel like these are things that I was kind of lied to about.
Lied to?
Yeah, like, you know, like, or that. Especially the bugginess, like that especially irks me. Because
no, that
like,
stuff is bad.
If that stuff existed, like I know that people did reviews on this PS4 build, you know, like
the shit
is broken. How does that not come up in any of these reviews? Like, how has that not been a focus of like anger? Because every other time there's like a broken ass video game, people call this, you know, people call those other games for their shit all the time. How did this one get a pass?
Sure. I think it happens with games that are more likely to have more to offer instead, that allow you to focus on other things than just like the broken parts. Unlike where if The Order, let's say, had like any technical difficulties, there's like not much to that game. So there's nothing else to like kind of pad that stuff out. So I could see where people might give it the benefit of the doubt. And then also, yeah, technical bugs are not going to be the same for everybody, like each individual reviewer. And from what I understand, it seemed like a lot of people reviewing console versions, not even PC versions.
Yeah, they didn't give out. Like, I know this because I've been working with people that did reviews and stuff.
Yeah.
The review code that they gave out to everybody was a PS4 build.
Yeah.
Then they got Xbox build, and the PC stuff didn't happen until the PC release.
Yeah, and then also I think it might be smart to keep in mind a lot of people who are reviewing these games, the Witcher 3 probably are people who reviewed Witcher games in the past, so they kind of know like what's going on and what to expect, and they could see like the culmination of all these great mechanics coming together, and then this, like, for that style of game, you know, it's probably the best one of those.
And then that reminds me of another thing too, is a lot of things I read and heard about, like, you don't have to have played any of the Witcher games to enjoy this Witcher game.
You know,
like,
people always say that, and I think it's bullshit, to be honest.
It is bullshit. Right off the bat, what they're doing is, like, trying to mimic whether, like, that you had a Witcher 2 save, you know?
Yeah.
They're, like, running you through some weird dialogue trees to, like, get your choices on things
like
that are
Mass
going
Effect.
To... Yeah, like, that are going to affect you going forward, because, like, certain characters will either be dead or not, or...
Sure.
You know, like, you'll have alliances with certain people or not. But they don't explain it at all. It's just like, hey, this thing happened. What do you think? No construct of who the people are. No context of like what a choice will mean in the past or the future, like nothing, nothing at all. So like if you got to that point, you're like, oh, I want to make sure that like I'm going to be like the, you know, like neutral good or something like that. Like you have like this ideal of the kind of Geralt that you want to be.
Yeah.
Like they give you no concept of what your answers are going to do and how that's going to affect the story going forward or like what that meant in the past kind of thing. And it really pissed me off.
I feel like because the lore is like so rich and like, yeah, big decisions were made in the past, but I heard like this game doesn't really have a ton to do with stuff that happened in Witcher 2. And I've also heard from people that it kind of does matter. So I don't know. It's like it's like you said, it's kind of bullshit. Like obviously knowing like the original source material is always going to be more beneficial than not. And like I think Witcher 3 might be in the case like with comic books. Like I'm trying to jump into Convergence and freaking Secret Wars, which we didn't talk about at all this episode. But like trying to jump into that stuff and like trying to cling on to stuff, like you just can't at some point. And you kind of like Ryan always says, like just let it wash over you and like try and get the pieces that you can. And you kind of like you start from there. Like when you start fresh, it's always hard. And you kind of just start from there. And like that starts like your knowledge of the world, you know, and maybe you'll catch up with some of the other stuff. Maybe you won't. But yeah, like I feel like in some way, especially with this comic stuff, I feel like I can't possibly care because I will get incredibly upset because I won't know about things. And I guess it's worse in a game because you're actually like making choices and things. But
and you're dedicating like, you know, in the case of The Witcher, you're dedicating like hundreds of hours or, you know, sure. Like over 100 hours to this game probably, you know.
Sure. And but I mean, if you really, really care about that stuff, you could, in theory, go read like a wiki or whatever.
But you know, not anymore for me because like it just all of a sudden happened and there was like five or six questions they asked you real quickly about these different things and that's it.
Yeah.
Like in a game that's open like this, I kind of want to, and you know, this... I could refute this myself, even this kind of like way of thinking, but like in a game like this, if there's a lot of things going on and it has this really broad story that's going to happen from these little choices that I make, I kind of want to know everything so I can make like the kind of informed choice as if I was that character.
I see what you're saying, but yeah, but you like can't have it both ways.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. Like that's the choice I made and I have to live with it, but it bothers me that I didn't have all the information that I needed to make that choice in the first place kind of thing, you know?
I see. All right. Well, I'm going to play The Witcher 3 this week.
More and like The Bitcher 3.
that's the thing, damn. Is like, it is probably a genuinely good game. And like, I understand that these people that reviewed it have love for the game. And they're obviously going to skew a little bit more towards like loving this thing because there is a following for the Witcher games and they deserve it. The CD Projekt makes like giant, this is like a giant saga thing that is very cool that they were able to pull all this stuff off. It's just, you know, because I enjoy video games and because I want to love this thing, like I have criticisms about it and it sounds like a lot of bitching.
I think, yeah, and I think the technical stuff is going to get patched out eventually, like in the long run.
Yeah, there's already been a patch. Like the PS4 version got a day one patch that supposedly fixed a lot of this frame rate stuff. But like I go into cutscenes, like these are cutscenes that are pre-rendered stuff, you know, like,
yeah,
and they're like so choppy that the cutscene like starts playing, stops completely, the like dead stop. And then you hear audio, but the picture is still frozen. And then the picture will jump to where the audio is. And then play out with no audio, like broken ass shit like that.
It just seems like open world stupid stuff. Like, yeah, that happens a lot in Dragon Age as well. Like, I don't know, but that stuff gets fixed eventually.
Or the fact that maybe the PlayStation 4 can't handle it. Cause,
I think that's, there's your sick burn.
Yeah,
or
like
it should be on PS or should be on PC.
Like maybe that game is hampered a lot by being on a console or whatever. Like, I don't know how to compare it. Like, I went on the internet before I bought it on PS4. Because I wanted to know which of the two consoles was going to play it better. Because obviously I don't have a PC to play it on, which is what everyone would say. Like, oh, if you want to play The Witcher 3, play it on PC. I don't have that.
Yeah.
I need to know which of these two consoles that I do own right now will play this game the best and give me the most enjoyment.
And the answer is neither.
I couldn't find a single thing about like anybody having like a rational comparison of the two.
Yeah. Usually, I remember the sites I was thinking of last week was Digital Foundry and Lens of Truth are usually the two like go-to.
Yeah, like, but those just like, you know, they show you like how much resolution is in this stuff, but like that's not what I want. Like, I don't care about resolution. Like that whole, you know, if Xbox is only going to do 900 and the PS4 is going to do 1080, I don't give a shit. Which one is not going to be broken? You know, like that's the one I want to play. Like,
well, then
I don't
care. Want to look at like frame rates, and they do tests for that as well, but not like quest brokenness. Running out of time. We got to do picks of the week.
Picks of the week, yeah. I'd like to apologize for Omar's long-winded rant about The Witcher 3 to all those out there who enjoy it, because I heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll,
that's why that's why I like that fact that Omar is like throwing shade on it, you know? That's because we keep things honest on here.
Yeah, keep it real.
Yeah, and next week I might have something completely different to say when I get more into it. If I, like, maybe that at something's going to happen that's going to suck me in so hard that I can overlook that stuff, and that's what happened to everybody, and that's why they were able to overlook all this brokenness. Yeah. But I've been playing, I've probably put in, like, you know, 15 hours or something, and that's
a pretty good amount of time.
Hasn't happened yet.
My pick of the week is the Flash TV show. 23 episodes. Pure comic book awesomeness. The last episode, the finale, was insanely good. We talked about it already at great length, so I'll leave it at that. My pick of the week, without a doubt, is the Flash TV show for being so awesome and so much fun. And I think it shows what TV can do for comic book shows. How about that?
They don't all have to be bad, right?
They don't have to be bad. They can be great if you embrace the roots. And that's what the TV show was able to do, was embrace the roots of the comic book. And it showed. And that's why it was so successful in my eyes. And also, Evan, in my heart.
Yeah, that's all we're asking for, really. Like, embrace the crazy stuff. Like, don't get your, like, video game or comic book movie or TV show tie-in and scrap everything in the writing room floor. Because people love that stuff for a reason. And if you look at what those reasons are, they usually stand up pretty well.
Right. Omar De Armas, what is your pick of the week? And if you say The Witcher, I'm going to...
I really wanted it to be The Witcher. Like, I thought, you know, here's a slam dunk. You know, The Witcher has come out. Everyone's talking crazy shit about it. It's obviously going to be the best game, and it'll be easy pick of the week. But, you know, it's fucking broken, and it bums me out. But I've been also playing on the 3DS Puzzle & Dragons Super Mario Brothers Edition, or Super Mario Edition.
Yep.
That game is really fun. It's kind of expensive, I guess. I don't know, $30 or something for a 3DS game. I don't know where that stacks up now with actual 3DS releases.
It's actually pretty common. I think they're 40, 30 or 40.
Yeah. So I bought it on the eShop. It took like 15 hours to download from the eShop because apparently it's a huge game. But you get basically two games out of there. You get the, it's a match three style game where there's a tile or a grid of tiles and you have to match the tiles to do attacks against the enemies.
Yeah.
So you get that version with the Mario characters, and it's this, it's like more of a straight up match three. Like, I need to match three or more of something and combo my matches to like cause damage to the enemies. And then you also get the like Puzzle & Dragons Z game, which is like an RPG. Like, you, like, classically, you wake up and your mom wakes you up in your bedroom and you have to like go on an adventure kind of thing. Like, classic old style RPG that way, and you do match three or more to fight those enemies and level up your character and stuff.
So you that get both
of
fun.
Those. Yeah, you get both of those games. You can flip back and forth between them. The mechanics are actually really in depth in the match three-ness. Like, there's a lot of nuance to how you play the game and like how you set up the board to like match stuff, and the characters you, or the team of characters you bring into every dungeon with you matters a lot. Like, there's a lot going on in that game, and I can easily see myself playing that over a long period of time. Like, every time I have an opportunity to do something like somewhere where I'm not home, like, it's an easy choice to play Puzzle & Dragons.
Yeah, I just enjoy seeing Mario artwork, like Nintendo artwork in that kind of style, like any type of like RPG format brings back really good memories for me. So it's fun. Like, yeah, if they made like a Super Mario Brothers Puzzle Fighter, holy crap.
Yeah, this is basically really Puzzle Fighter. Like, huh. No joke, this is basically, the board is only yours. Which, mm-hmm. I think in Puzzle Fighter, the enemy plays the board as well, right?
Well, in Puzzle Fighter, it's like Tetris and stuff falls down quickly. It's not like match three, like puzzle-y. It's puzzle-y in the sense, but it's more like things. It's like Dr. Mario meets Tetris, and you're trying to like clear blocks out.
I remember playing one on the phone some long time ago. Mm-hmm. That was like a match three game that you're playing. Like, every match three causes damage to your enemy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that kind of game. It's super fun in short bursts, and it's perfect 3DS game. You just close that lid, play it whenever.
I see.
Intriguing. Intriguing.
Yeah, I definitely want to pick that up as well.
Yeah, you guys are both rocking. Oh no, Ryan, you're rocking that new 3DS.
Hey, yeah. What's up now, players? Look at Evan's like, well, I got this Vita, guys. It's actually pretty cool.
I have a 3DS. I use it like every day.
I got this Vita, and let me tell you guys, it's gonna be a huge hit at the E3.
Gosh dang it. I love the Vita. And you know what?
I'm glad somebody does.
Do you think they're gonna do a PS4 Vita combo? bundle
sale. No, they want to lose money.
I think they're done with the
Vita. They're going to finally market the Vita as a second screen for the
PS4.
They're
going to finally and slowly shove that thing under the rug.
If they want to make any kind of money and move units, they have to remarket this thing as the Sony paperweight.
It is a PlayStation 4 second screen.
Or that's what they have to market. The Sony paperweight. Looks good on your desk because there's nothing else to do with it.
No, Evan Campbell, OLED it's not display. True.
OLED display.
Yeah, it's so good. It looks so good.
For holding papers down in a windstorm. Evan Campbell, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a little game called Invisible Ink. It's sort of cyberpunkish, top-down, strategy tile-based game.
The dude's name is Decker.
Yes, but I mean, it's not like crazy into the future. I think it's only like 40 years into the future from now. But yeah, people have like neural implants and like robot parts and things, I guess. So yeah, there's less punk than cyber, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You're like an espionage team and you go into like crazy corporations and try and hack their stuff because they're evil. You don't really
And they're militarized.
They're militarized, yeah. So that's a fun game. It plays something like XCOM, if you're familiar with that style of game, and you kind of sneak around office buildings. The stealth is really fun. I've completed my first playthrough, which I think like the beginner setting is way too easy. It should probably start like it recommends that no matter what you start on beginner. Yeah, and it's
because from what I remember of the, I think that was on early access a long time ago, like or something. I remember playing this game a while back.
Used to be called Incognita.
And then you changed it to Yeah. But I remember playing it before and reading things recently. Like the difficulty curve on this game is quite sharp.
I think like, if you're used to playing those types of games, it's just like it's kind of a no-brainer. Like, don't get spotted because you will die. And that is no exception here. In the beginner mode, I did run into some tight situations, but I feel like now I'm not equipped to like do my other playthroughs because I could like kind of just cheese a bunch of other stuff in the beginner mode. So like I wish I just
depend on replays and stuff or like rewinds and stuff like that.
Just like behaviors of like going through doors without like really checking out a room or like waiting to see if a guard walks into a room, because in the beginner mode there just isn't a lot of guards walking around in general. Like just stuff like that that would just better prepare you. So I feel like if I hit maybe this is like another thing that's just like personal to me, but if I hit that wall like a lot sooner, I might gameplay and like strategies would have improved really quickly and I would have jumped the hump. And but now I feel like I'm getting punished a bunch because there's just stuff like, oh, that's dumb, I shouldn't play that way, because obviously these dudes are gonna wreck me. So I would have rather learned that lesson before I played the game for like 8 hours, because now I feel like I'm almost done with it, but I want to unlock more characters and stuff and I want to play more. But yeah, Invisible Ink, it's super rad. Clay makes really good games. They have some of the best endings in games. I don't know if you played Mark of the Ninja, but I thought that was like one of my favorite endings in the last like 10 years of games. But yeah, play that game, Invisible Ink, if you like strategy games. It's fun.
They have a awesome animation team.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And that's it. Wow. It's over.
Wow, this has been an interesting episode of your favorite podcast for all things comic books and sometimes video games. We had to deal with some future space issues, but
yeah, if it sounds disjointed, we're sorry.
We thank you for hanging in there. That's going to wrap up this week. If you have a suggestion, comment, or question for the show, please send us an email to podcast@indestructibleart.com, and maybe we'll read it on next week's episode if it's good. Now, listen, we get lots of questions, like way too many. It's like a bunch of spam these days, but none of these questions have been good enough for us to actually read on the air. So make sure it counts when you send it to that email address. You can also reach us via Twitter at Pixels the Panels, probably one of the best Twitter accounts around, I would say. What say you, Omar? Best Twitter account around?
Twitter name? Pretty good handle. Descriptive.
But just a great account to follow.
Descriptive.
That's going to wrap up this exciting episode of Indestructible Art 188 on behalf of Omar De Armas and Evan Campbell. That's Ryan Adams. You have lots of podcasts to listen to, but you choose to listen to ours. And that makes you what, Evan Campbell?
Indestructible. That was my impression of what Omar's microphone sounded like earlier.
Yes, yes. That also actually kind of sounds like Omar with the nasalness.
Hey.
Oh, zing. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Can't we all just be on the same team for once?
Found David Ledman as the place right here.
Bro, I am my own team. You sent it to us?
It's on the show notes. Oh, you're not doing links this week. Oh, you're going to miss out. Sorry, bro.
I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you next time I see you.
I hope so.
I'm going to fucking
next time you see him.
I am going to end you.
See him again.
It'll be a good time, you know?
I will end you.
As if you're ever going to see anybody again.
You know what? Next time I see you, Ryan, I'm going to shave your goatee.
God damn it, Evan. How can we have to have this conversation every time you bring up a goatee? I had a goatee once when I was 15.
I saw pictures. It was you had a goatee for way longer than that.
I was 15. No, do you know what a goatee is, Omar?
It is chin hair.
It is chin hair to a mustache.
Yeah.
No. Anything that is just a beard that solely exists on your chin is a goatee.
Nope. That is called the goat.
No.
The goatee is when you add the mustache, assholes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you look like Commander Riker,
but you're wrong.
For like most of my life, and that's all I remember.
First off, I will tell you this right now. I haven't had what they call chin hair since I was 23. I am now almost 35 years old. So I do not understand why.
Your formative years, all chin haired.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Omar?
Yeah.
Look, here's a link. I found a link.
Look, we all do things. Like, you guys played water polo. I had chin hair. We all do things we regret.
One of those things is pretty awesome.
Well, the goatee is probably slightly more awesomer than playing high school water polo.
I watched Omar punch a guy in the nose and it bled. And I said, holy shit, don't mess with Omar.
And then Omar probably cried afterwards. Omar, have you ever punched somebody and then cried?
Then cried? I don't remember punching anybody in the nose.
You strike me as the kind of guy that if you punch somebody, you would then be the one crying afterwards. Because you're like, I can't believe I did that.